You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
You're locked on The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
I'm enjoying a Stroop waffle. You know what that is? They give these out on the airlines. That's how I found out about it. It's a soft, toasted waffle filled with caramel, cinnamon, and real bourbon vanilla. And it's designed to do what I'm doing right now. You take it, it's round, just a little bit bigger than your coffee cup, and you put it on top of the coffee cup, and the heat from the coffee makes it nice and soft and tasty.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. It's good. Stroop waffle.
Stroop or Stroop?
Stroop waffle. Stroop waffles? Stroop?
Stroop with an R. Stroop waffles. Stroop waffles made in the Netherlands. But it's distributed by the Brand Passport Company, New York, New York. So it's like Stroop waffles, mother trucker. No, sorry. It's got a little New York attitude and a little a Scandinavian accent. All right. Here is the mystery voice.
We do
voice.
Have a listener from Scandinavia.
Yes, we do. He's a very polite man.
Yes. I wonder if he could send us any info on Stroop waffles.
All right, here
maybe some Stroop waffles. Is that peyote? I want some Stroop waffles.
Payola? I don't think so unless he actually manufactures the damn things. Wouldn't it be funny if that's what he does? Oh, my God, that's my job here. I came over here to start the Stroop waffle factory because of my engineering degree from Tulane. I don't know what the hell he did an engineering degree. I just picked the school. All right. I don't care where you pick this up, basically, but we're not going to play much of it. About 20 seconds. Try and pick it up when they're actually playing, though. Make sure you got some video. Get him actually doing play-by-play. This is I'm not going to give you any more clues other than to listen to it. And the first person who texts us at 437-9680 who this mystery voice is, I will give a prize to, and then I will elaborate a bit on it and some things I discovered last night, which are fascinating in my – I'm easily amused, and they fascinated me. All right. Well, you're making cringe faces, like. Are you ready to go? All right, here it is. Let's take a look.
Lucas wanted the ball in the corner, didn't get it. Down low to Gilmore. Barnes went for a steal. He doesn't get back. And ML Carr cringes under the basket as Gilmore slams it through. ML is laughing, coming back the other way. If that ball had come down on his head, he could have very well suffered a concussion.
Or if Gilmore had come down on his head.
I'm telling you, Gilmore rifled that thing through. Here's CJ from the foul line, and what a contrast to two nights ago as he puts in his third field goal in the first period after going scoreless from the floor in the entire game on Sunday. Now Will Jones at the other end has his driving layup blocked by CJ. Fans wanted a goaltending call. Spirits down on a break. Barnes missing inside, but he was fouled by Gilmore.
All right, there you go. Who is that? 437-9680. That sounded more like him than when I first tuned it in. So I don't think it's going to be as hard as I thought it might be. But there's an interesting story behind it anyway. And you'll have a nice prize. I don't know what it'll be. But it will be for you if you can text us at 437-9680.
Do you want me to go to the opening? Because that did not – the opening doesn't sound like him at all.
Yeah, do that. I'm eating my Stroop waffle.
I was going to say, a mouthful of Stroop waffle. Mm-hmm.
Good.
All right, let's see if I could, because, yeah, it's, I was afraid that I was going to click it to a point where it's like, so-and-so here with so-and-so.
He never identifies himself.
Against CJ at 6'11", and we get a whistle off the tip as they both made contact with the ball, and there is a foul called immediately on Caldwell Jones. So just as we have noted, the last few times these teams have played, Caldwell Jones seems to pick up a foul on literally the first play of the game, and that immediately perhaps indicates things to come as he is prone to getting into foul difficulty when playing against Gilmore, and indeed he went.
It sounds nothing like him.
We got a winner. So I'll give you all the wrong guesses first. Yes, I'm eating on the air. Those of you who hate it, deal with it. It's delicious. If you've not tried a Stroop waffle, have you ever had one of these?
So I think good. Maybe oh. I have. Hey, someone's calling the back door line. I think I know who it is.
Well, I don't know who to call. Stroop waffle.
Dang.
They hung up?
Yeah. Just as I was getting to the phone.
Who did you think it was?
Who did I think it was? I mean, I was going to say, like, Brent Musburger, but I knew, like, time-wise that didn't add up. So I...
No, I mean, who did you think was on the phone?
Oh. Oh, I thought it was Pinky.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I'm guessing it was Pink, but I don't know. He disappeared.
That might be him on the regular line now.
Let's see.
Wait, don't leave yet. I still have a mouthful of Stroop waffle. Wait. If you've not tried these, I'm serious. If you want a little something to go with your coffee, you can't beat it. So good.
Stroop waffle.
No, it's so good. Seriously.
Yep.
No, seriously. Here are the wrong guesses. Marv Albert? No. Tom Leach? No. I can't. That was a funny one, but I can't read it. Wasn't that person either. Regis Philbin? No. The answer is Bob Costas. And the reason, one of the reasons it doesn't sound completely like him, although it sounds more and more like him as the game goes on, is he was right out of Syracuse. And the Spirits were a new franchise, and they were looking for an announcer. And he sent them a tape of one basketball game he had done. He had done like one game, Syracuse against somebody, and he lopped out all the crappy parts. So he only sent them the parts he didn't sound terrible. And then he slowed the tape down so his voice was deeper. So he sounded older. And lo and behold, he got the job. And so he would try and lower his voice a little bit at the beginning. And that was him being a little bit deep-voiced. And that was him at Freedom Hall against the last year of the Colonel's existence, of the ABA's existence. That was 76. And Issel was already gone, I guess, wasn't he? Or did they get – when did Issel leave? Pinky would know. Pink would know. He wasn't in this game, though, so he was either hurt or they'd already let him, sold him. Another good team. UB had nothing but good teams here, but they didn't win. The Nets won the last championship in the ABA. But that was Costas. And we'll give a prize to the first person who got it.
That was Pink.
Okay.
And he did know.
Is he trying to guess?
No.
He said, ineligible for a prize.
Yeah, he said, you know, he didn't want to win the prize, but he said he knew that was Bob Costas. But he said the way he got the job was just that. Yeah. Base up, treble down.
Yeah, that's it. And the winner is this number, which is ending in 3068.
Text them or message
them. I will.
What?
I will do that right now.
They said I won't. And I was like, oh, all right.
Cool. No, I will. So, by the way, if you heard the female's voice there, I wonder if Pink knows that. There was the two teams that used, which will piss off many of you who don't think there should be any women announcers for men's sports, which I disagree with, but that's just the way it is. That was actually the general manager's wife. I think her name was Arlene Weltman. I think that's correct. I'm not sure what his first name was, but he was the general manager of the team, and his wife did the color. Harry Weltman, if you're scoring at home, was the general manager of the Spirits of St. Louis. He was also one of the co-owners. The Spirits have a odd claim to fame. In the year before we were listening to that game, the net in 74-75, the Nets defeated the Spirits 12 straight times, 12 consecutive wins, but then the Spirits beat them 4-1 in the playoffs. And that was the year Louisville won, right? Wasn't that the year Louisville won the championship? I think it was 75. I thought it was. Was it 74-75? And then the Nets, of course, won it the last year, and then they went out of business. But anyway, so I love doing this. A, I was a kid. You guys was before most of you, the listeners, were born, so it wouldn't mean as much to you. But a couple of things might, if you have any interest at all in history. And respectfully, I think you should. If you love basketball, you should have an idea when people are talking about some of the names. This game was interesting. It was in Freedom Hall. It's a good crowd. They're loud. The Colonels had a great franchise. They had Artis in the middle. He was great. Louis Dampier was still playing. Ubi was coaching him. I mean, that's three Hall of Famers. They had Maurice Lucas was a starting forward, terrific player. Bert Averett. They had a good team. And it's good basketball. And that was fun. And they're Costas is calling the game. The Indiana Pacers and the Spirits of St. Louis were the first two teams to use female analysts. Since Spirits of St. Louis was because there was the general manager's wife. I don't know why Indiana did it, but that's why the Spirits did. And Costas was the voice of the team until they went out of business. But you could find that on YouTube. Just type in this Kentucky Colonels versus Spirits of St. Louis. But if you want to see something that's really, really entertaining, type in the NBA versus ABA All-Star game. This was from seven. There were two of them played. I think there's only video of one of them. It is in black and white. It's from 1972, I think, 72 or 73. And they played at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. And the NBA All-Star team is Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, John Havlicek, Gail Goodrich. The ABA All-Star team is Artis Gilmore, Julius Erving. Here's why you'd find it entertaining. First of all, the announcers, by the way, a guy named Don Cricky, who I had the pleasure of working with, a long time, very established broadcaster. He's doing the play-by-play. Unfortunately, it's a really compelling game to watch. In case you want to watch it, I like to watch games I don't know the result of. It's like watching it live, so I won't spoil it for you, but I will tell you, I will have to spoil one thing. For some inexplicable reason, it's only the first three quarters. And the last quarter, I did some research on it. Evidently, the tape of which was destroyed. There's no record of it, so you can't see how the game ends. And I guess it had a really entertaining ending, if you want to go look that up online, if you're so compelled. But you can see it's toward the tail end of Oscar's career, but you can still see just how brilliant he is. Havlicek is brilliant. Goodrich is great. But here's the other thing. It is a young Julius Erving, and you should be. I get it. You should be excited about Michael Jordan. This guy was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan, and he's taller than Michael. He's a forward, and he's still doing stuff. He gets a rebound, puts it between his legs, behind his back, spins, goes down the lane, gets up in the air, at just spectacular, spectacular stuff. I mean, brings the crowd to its feet. He wasn't playing with the Nets then. Rick Barry's on the ABA team. There's some really great players. It's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, I watched the whole thing start to finish. I was so pissed off when the thing went off. I wanted to see the end of the game. But Doc is unbelievable. Oh, my God. It's just, and they, you know, he's still young. He should have still been in college. I think he had only been out a year, and he left school early before there was so many of the one-and-dones. But if you want to appreciate great players. The announcers were Kentucky's Cliff Hagan, who had played in the NBA and the ABA, and the other announcer was Hot Rod Hundley. They had two analysts, and then Bob Don Cricky, really good broadcasting team. They did some interviews. It's not nearly as polished. They keep losing. They keep having technical problems where there's a corny cartoon of a guy coming on, dribbling a ball, and it says, "Sorry, we're having some problems." It was just, that was old TV, baby. They come on ridiculously hard. Now they want to go on, throw the ball up because they're so terrified you're going to leave. Not only do they have a huge pregame, they're interviewing people, they interview players, but they interviewed Senator Sam Ervin. Oscar Robertson presented him a ball at halftime because Ervin was fighting the antitrust regulation that the NBA wanted to put in place, or they wanted to give themselves an exemption from it so they could basically own all the players. And Oscar, who was one of the first guys to speak out on it, and the ABA was the walking proof of that, and Ervin turned it into – they gave him the ball. He's just supposed to say thank you. And he does like a five-minute campaign speech in his big, thick Southern accent, wherever the hell he was from, and he's like, "I hope you'll join me, and these boys should be able to play where they want to play. They should not be restricted." And you see Cricky just looking at him like – okay, we got to get back to the broadcast. But it's really fun to watch. Such good players in that game.
Just that little stretch that we were watching.
Entertaining.
It was so much fun.
So fast.
Yeah.
The speed of the game is unbelievable. And it's not – and here's the thing, it's interesting. Two things are interesting about this. One, in the first half, Gilmore kicks Chamberlain's ass. Chamberlain had just come off getting the MVP in the playoffs. The Lakers had won the championship. And Gilmore comes out and just – absolutely kicks his ass. And the second half starts, and Chamberlain is pissed off. and he comes out and he's blocking shots and he's manhandling Gilmore. And I'm saying, it's an exhibition game in May. I mean, and these guys are playing their butts off. In fact, Chamberlain, there was an inbounds play, and he gets called for an offensive foul because he takes Gilmore two hands. He just shoves him. And I was like, these guys are playing to win. I mean, this is an all-star game. They are playing to win. I mean, you see stupid all-star games now, and they're so boring.
There's no.
This was compelling to watch. It came down to a buzzer shot, I'll tell you that. I won't tell you who took it or whether he made it or not, but it came down to a buzzer shot. And it got me. When you know, on YouTube, if you watch something, it'll lead you to related things. It led me to the 19, about that same time, hockey all-star game. And you would like that, Nick. The hockey all-star game, the same deal. Guys are diving and blocking shots. I mean, they're not blasting guys into the boards like that, but they are not. They are checking. They'll do a little bump.
I thought there was at least some roughing. I remember
they are checking each other. The final score, instead of when they finally did away with the stupid all-star game because nobody did anything that resembled hockey, and the final scores were more like lacrosse scores, like 12-9. This game winds up being 4-1, and they were playing. They were playing. It was very, very cool. And you know, first of all, they didn't make that much money. They probably got a little bonus if they won the game. And secondly, there was just the ABA and NBA especially, there was a certain amount of pride in that. I mean, they ask Oscar at halftime. I'll tell you this, the ABA gets off to a 19-point lead in the first half. And they ask, Cricky asks him, well, the ABA really got off to a good start. The NBA had a little bit of trouble. And Oscar was like, he didn't take it like you would for an all-star game, laughing over like, we'll be fine, thank you. So first half, we're just making sure everybody had a chance to play. Now the second half, we mean business. We'll get down to business. I was like, damn, Oscar, it's May. It's an all-star game, man. He's ready to play ball. If you like basketball and you don't like watching that, I'd be shocked. For all of the ridiculously poor, almost 50 years ago, it's not high def. It's black and white. They got all sorts of problems. They lose the sound. They lose the picture. It's replay was considered a big innovation then. I mean, that was a big deal. But it's really compelling. The other thing is they also put you in that era. So now what pops up, I go to sleep with the TV on these things. And occasionally the bad thing is I'll wake up and I'll look and I'll go, damn, I want to see that. And like 4 in the morning, I'm watching the 1968 Gator Bowl. And ABC Television had the rights. It was played on New Year's Day. They come on the air like 30 minutes before kickoff. And they're interviewing everybody. And then halftime is they show the actual bands, both bands. They show both bands. And this is the part that's unbelievable. Because first of all, that it happened. And secondly, that they showed it. Because now if it happened, they would quickly cut away from it. As part of the series, it's Syracuse versus Tennessee. And Syracuse, by the way, had, again, names hopefully you'll know. Floyd Little, Larry Zonka, the guy who just got fired as the coach of the Panthers. I didn't know that he played there. Tom Coughlin. All of a sudden, like the gifts to Coughlin. I was like, Tom Coughlin, I get on the phone. He goes, holy cow, he's on that team too. So they're playing, and at halftime, the Syracuse team is doing their band is doing their show, and there's guys, a very innocent little banner. They're marching in front. They're not on the field. They're marching in that area where the teams would be if they were still out on the field. And they're walking the length of the field. And it's a sign like, you know, the volunteers, we don't need any volunteers here or something. Tennessee fans come running out of the stands and dive through the banner like the, you know, you would at the start of a game when you run through it, and they yank it to the ground. One of the guys carrying his sign grabs them. They start beating the crap out of each other, and they're showing it. They don't cut away from it. Then all of a sudden, and by the time the actual stadium security comes, the whole thing is put to bed. They've destroyed the sign. So the Tennessee fans are loving that, but the Syracuse guys pick the tattered sign up and they walk off. Their fans are cheering like crazy. And Bill Fleming, the late Bill Fleming, the announcer, says, well, as you can see, a little altercation on the sideline. I was like, really, Bill? You think that wasn't part of the show? I thought it was. We had two guys from the other team come and destroy one of the props. Oh, man. It's so entertaining. It's so sterilized. It's so unantiseptic. Everything right now is so produced for television. They just showed it. They showed the game. This is how it played out. And guys are running on the field and knocking people over. We'll show you that. You know, it's just incredible. And here's the other fun thing. 1968, honest to God, I sincerely mean this. Well, I was 50, whatever the hell I was, when I, you know, went with Will Wolford and kicked for the arena team, having never played football, I was a soccer player, but I you know, trained for a few months to be the kicker. I am fairly confident I would have been better than either of the place kickers for these two teams. They were so bad. Syracuse's guy, he has a 30-yard field goal, and he leaves it about 8 yards short. I think when I was training, even I could have reached at least from 30. He missed an extra point. It got so bad that they scored they only scored two touchdowns. He'd already missed a field goal. He missed an extra point. They score the second touchdown. They line up for the extra point, and they try and run a fake. And the guy gets absolutely clobbered. They're both straight on kickers. I mean, that looks so odd now. You know, the guys that run and toe kick it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. The end of the game comes. They're still talking about the game. God bless Bud Wilkinson, who is one of the legendary coaches. He won 66 games in a row, I think, as a college coach. Think about this. I mean, it's easy to mock, which of course we would. But they all right. I'll ruin it for you. Tennessee is winning 18-12. Syracuse scores and they have a kickoff and they expect an onside kick, which they don't really do. I don't know what the hell the guy did. He instead of kicking it 10 yards, he kicked like 30 yards. So Tennessee recovers it. Okay, there's 43 seconds to go. Syracuse has no timeouts left. 43 seconds. I mean, it's over. And Bud Wilkinson says, well, fans might really want Tennessee to try to score, but I'm pretty sure they're more concerned with winning the game. Bud, do you think? you think he's going to drop back and chuck the bomb here with a six-point lead and 43 seconds to go? I was like, was that commonplace then? Did they have no concept of strategy? If we think they're bad with time management now, what the hell were they doing then? Quick, we got to get a two-minute offense. I said, Coach, we're winning. I don't care. We need more points. We need more points. Throw it.
It's and like then schoolyard rules, you can only win by 10.
And then they don't do the victory formation. You know where the guy gets the snap and goes to a knee? He runs a quarterback sneak. He takes it and he actually dives forward, like into enemy territory, instead of getting the hell away from him. And I was like, wow.
And he's not getting the ever-loving crap kicked out of him?
Oh, they did.
Team?
Yeah, the first play he did straight ahead, and then the second play, now they had talk about, you know, eight guys in the box. They had 11 guys on the center. They were. It was like everybody was on the center. And so he was smart enough not to dive straight ahead. He stepped to his right and dove to his right. And then the entire city of Syracuse jumped on top of him. They were pulling off his socks, his helmet, his chin strap, trying to yank the football out of there. And they couldn't get it. And then the game mercifully came to an end. But I was like, wow, have things changed. I was like, good Lord. It was one thing that hasn't changed. During the game, promoting what was coming up later on ABC Sports, figure skating from Lake Placid. You won't want to miss the artistry and thrills of figure skating. It was just, but other than that, it was could not have been more different. It was the halftime went on forever. It was just, I just find it fascinating. You know, I was alive for that. So that's not as much fun for me. The problem is you can't get much, there's not a lot of video stuff from before when I was born, sadly. There is there's two entire World Series from the early 50s between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Ebbets Field is one game, and I think Yankee Stadium is the other. It's the whole game, and that is a treasure. That is, and the reason I like it is because I'm looking at it and saying, I was not here. I wasn't even on the earth for this. That's so cool to imagine what it's like. I'm always looking. I want to see what the people are wearing. I want to see the whole thing. Because it's fun to speculate what it'll be like in the year 2060 or something. But I ain't going to be here. I ain't going to know. There's no way to know. You don't know. We have no way of knowing. I know for a fact this is what it looked like back then because I have video proof. So I love – that's why I listen to old-time radio. I love that. And I mean, terms they use that are not used now. Like when a manager bitched, they called it kicking. Because I listened the first time the guy said that. I was like, oh, my God. The manager went and kicked the umpire? I'm surprised they let him. And then I heard it in another game, and I was like, oh, I realized they're not literally kicking. It's kicking. That means he's complaining. So I was like, okay, that's a little bit of a different term. So, and the games, it's just, it's fascinating stuff. But that part, when the guys run out of the stands and they break the sign, and basically a sideline brawl breaks out, that was tasty. All right, who am I talking to here? Because the thing, wait, let me see if I can do it. Don't tell me. There's the phone. Connect. And, nope. Oh, wait. Pink was in, who's here first? Pink. Pink, you're first. We talked about a lot of stuff, but I'm sure you probably even remember the game. You were probably on the bench. I didn't happen to see. They didn't show. That's another thing. They didn't show the bench very much either. They used nowadays. You watch and they're always showing the bench. They got a picture of UB for like 10 seconds. That's about it. So, but you were there right till the end, weren't you?
Oh yeah, I was right there to the end, Bob. I had probably a box with 40 pounds of tapes in them, and right after the league folded, the NBA called me and said, do you have any tapes? I said, yes. I said, they said, would you ship them to me? I said, I'll ship them to you one reason. You put them on a disc for me, and number two, I still reserve the rights to them. So I shipped them all these tapes. So I have a bunch of tapes. I've got piece of games, part of games, some TV. Some we filmed from Freedom Hall, the top of Freedom Hall, and you can't even hardly see them anymore. I mean, the quality is so bad, but... In that All-Star game, the NBA-ABA, they played at Nassau Coliseum, and actually Fritz Massman was the trainer for the Nets, got the ABA side. But do you know who did the radio for the Nets?
For the Nets back then? Wait a minute. I think I do. Well, there were a bunch of guys. Spencer Ross did it for a while. Not John Sterling didn't, did he? Was it John Sterling? Who else was it? Who else did it?
You won't believe this. At a time, Phil Rizzuto.
No, that I never knew. Phil Rizzuto did the play-by-play for the Nets. As he would say, holy cow, that's unbelievable.
I had the very first seat, then Hubie had the next seat and on down. The trainer always took the first seat, and he was sitting next to me, so I got to see him a lot. But he did a lot of radio for the Nets.
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. See, on this show, you always learn something, no matter how obscure it may be. I did not know that, and I thought I knew everything about New York sports media or thereabouts. I never heard that. I knew he did things besides the Yankees because he used to have a local radio show. I mean, he actually was at the end he kind of got bored with it all. There was that legendary story that one of the broadcasters was looking at his score sheet, and it would say, he would see stuff here like a 7 fly out to left and 2 lines for double, and then there'd be 3 boxes that say WW, and they'd say, Phil, what the hell does this mean? He said, oh, it wasn't watching. So he kind of mailed it in a little at the end, but he was good. He had a radio show. He knew about other sports. So that's a fact. I got to look that up on Wikipedia. I did not know that. Phil Rizzuto, Nets play-by-play.
Don Criqui did the TV. Do you know why he did the TV?
Because he was the ABA announcer on CBS.
Well, CBS, the commissioner, was Jack Dolph, who came from CBS to the ABA. That's how that connection came in.
He's a good broadcaster, too, by the way. I've worked with Don. He's very, very good.
He did the All-Star game in 72 from Louisville and several other games. But there were a lot of great announcers. I mean, when you go back and you look at Mari Brenneman started with the Virginia Squires and Bob Costas and Van Vance, and, Van did a lot of simulcast where they had the TV and radio on at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's what Costas was doing in this game, because he even says it, because he's really over-describing things. I'm like, what's he doing? He said, well, it's another game where I'll be simulcasting today, so those of you watching on TV, I was like, attaboy, Bob, thanks for pointing that out, because I was wondering why you were describing every little thing that went on. So, anyway.
Well, for the 2 short years that St. Louis was there, they had more... Did you know Utah basically merged with them? That's where Moses Malone went and Gus Gerard and all those players from Utah went to St. Louis and merged with them. They end up with Freddie Lewis from the Indiana Pacers. They had quite a crew there now.
They had some talent on that team. There's no question. They had Ron Boone on that team. They had Marvin Barnes. So, anyway.
Well, they had Marvin Barnes, and there's so many stories about Marvin Barnes, and actually, you've heard this story. I'm sure St. Louis is playing in Louisville. And Marvin Barnes asked Bob Costas, what time is it? He says, 8 o'clock. What time's the plane leave? He said, 8 o'clock. He said, what time's it getting St. Louis? He said, 7:55. Marvin picked his stuff up and said, I'm not getting on no time machine.
Yeah, it's funny because I've heard him tell that story, and I just looked it up last night, and he said the only thing he feels bad about, Costas, is he said Marvin was trying to be funny. He said he wasn't stupid. He was trying to be funny, but people want to take it as, he was just an absolute idiot. He said he had put his arm around me, and he said, bro, I ain't getting on no time machine. And then he busted up laughing, so he was trying to be funny. But he was a character. There's no question about that. But I'll tell you what, though, Pink. You watched Julius Erving when he was young like that. Oh, my God. He was mean, he was. People get excited about Michael Jordan. This kid was Jordan before Jordan. He was spectacular. He was just unbelievable.
I've never heard of it. And when Hubie came, we had a rule. Hubie had a rule. If Dr. J is going in for a slam dunk, whether it's at home or on the road, if you don't grab him around the waist, I'm fining you $125. Because even in Louisville, Dr. J would get our crowd turning against this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody went out to see the doctor.
Yeah, he was great. All right, Pink, good talking to you, buddy. Thanks so much. We got breaking news. You want to hit the sounder there? Da-na-na, da-na-na. That was the sounder. New coach at Mississippi State. Oh, forget about it. The moment's lost. Mike Leach takes over at Mississippi State. The SEC has got the wild rambler, Mike Leach. Well, at least the press, at least the media days are going to be more entertaining. So that should be very interesting.
As I think our boy Steve Romage put it well, he said, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Mike Leach, Mississippi State. That could be kind of tasty.
Definitely. You know, I'm looking online. I don't see anything about Rizzuto doing the net games, but I would never doubt Pink. I'm sure that's true because I didn't realize how much broadcasting work he did in New York, but I don't see anything on here. Anyway, all right, Bob has been holding. Wouldn't it be great if it's Bob Costas? It's not, though. It's not Bob Costas, is it? It's not Babe Ruth either, right? Or Tim O'Brien Wilson? No? It's just Bob. Hi, Bob. Welcome in. What's on your mind?
Hey, Bob. How you doing today?
Good.
You were just talking about Julius Erving, and I remember as a kid, probably I was about 9 in the early 70s, Dr. J was in town. They were playing the Colonels, and the league I was in, I don't remember if it was our Catholic League or some kind of basketball league I was playing in, we got to do our all-star game during the halftime. So they let us go out on the floor and, you know, do like a 20-minute all-star game. Then after the game, they gave us each one of those old ABA red, white, blue balls.
Oh, lucky you.
And they took us into the locker room for the Colonels, and, you know, we were getting all of our autographs, everybody signing the balls for us. And then when I got done, Dan Issel asked me, says, is there anybody you didn't get? I said, I'd love to get Julius Erving. And he walked me over to that locker room and knocked on the door, got him to come out and sign that ball for me.
Wow. That was kind of one of the reasons people like me, I mean, I love the Knicks. I will always love the Knicks despite their dysfunction. But the ABA was kind of, everybody was all kind of one for one and one for all when it came to things like that, because they were always fighting for their survival. And so they were really good about interacting with fans, and they, you know, they never took it as a slap in the face or anything like that. So that's pretty cool, but I'm not surprised at it. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course, now almost 50 years later, those signatures are a little faded, but the ball still sits out on the mantle. So.
Very nice. Well, congratulations to you. That's a great one. I mean, you got to watch the highlights because the players are terrific. Very, 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 very good. Pretty obvious you haven't spent time in a big boy locker room. I don't have any idea what the hell that even means. What does that mean? Do you have any idea? That guy, I assume he's trying to insult me, and I always feel obligated when they try and insult me to be appropriately offended, but I don't know what the hell that means.
What?
Pretty obvious you haven't spent time in a big boy locker room, Bob. What did I say that would have triggered that?
Oh, some from another show in the area. That was like,
oh, somebody was ripping me somewhere?
Yeah.
Something? Oh, well, okay. Well, that's just ridiculous. Whatever. Okay. Makes you happy. First of all, let me be obligated to be a little bit. The guy took time out of his day to send me an asinine text. Don't you think I owe him a little annoyance? I think that's only fair.
Give the people what they want.
I mean, so the guy was trying to annoy me. It makes no sense. I don't know what anybody else said. I don't listen. I don't care. I'm comfortable with my analysis. I've been in a lot of big boy locker rooms. I don't know. That doesn't count. That one doesn't count. I was in the Yankee locker room after they won the World Series. That's a pretty big boy locker room. So I've been around big boy stuff.
Is it different? Do they have like bigger snacks?
Yeah, they have great. Oh, the spread in a major league locker room?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I said that half tongue in cheek.
No, like, they do. It's very good. So I don't know what he was saying, but I'm offended. Because I assume you want me to be offended, I think. So I'm offended at that. How could you say that? How could he say that, Nick?
Well, maybe he was just saying it like...
No, he wanted to offend me. I feel obligated to be offended. So, sir, I am Petty, absolutely offended. I have no idea what the person said. No idea what the context is. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I've been around a whole bunch of stuff, but you wanted to offend me, so I'm offended. So there you go. Successful day for you.
I'm not sure if he was offending you.
He wasn't offending
me? No, I'm wondering if he was.
He had to be. How could that be taken as anything but?
I wonder if he was just saying that, like, ha, 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 that was so asinine when it got said somewhere else that I'm just going to shoehorn it into. Sort of like how, you know how Phil and I now do L's down?
It's sports radio. I mean, people go out of their way to be
L's down.
Horses' asses. I mean, that makes their day. So I feel an obligation to our public. We have 98% of very bright people, and we enjoy them for 98% of the time. But we still have 2 asshats%, and so I feel you try and take care of all your listeners. So, guy's an asshat. I feel he wants me to be offended. I feel okay. I was offended. I don't think I was very sincere enough, though.
No, throw something.
Hang on.
That's a Nerf football right there in toilet paper. Swear.
You son of a bitch! You motherfucking piece of shit! How could you say such a thing? That's for you people on the stream. So I hope that guy's listening on the stream. So that should make his day, right? Don't you think that'll make his day? That was offended, right? Wasn't that offended? That was pretty damn offended. I think it was.
Attaboy.
I mean, I thought I gave him his money's worth.
There you go. Yep.
Thank you. Speaking of money, the holidays are over, and it's a brand new year. If you're thinking about the high-interest credit cards you used over the holidays and the bills that'll be coming, here's an idea that'll ease your mind. Pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment. Not only the convenience of one payment, but it's at a lower fixed rate. LightStream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. That is so much lower than the national average of interest rate, which is over 20% APR. That adds up to lots of savings each and every month. And on top of that, there's absolutely no fees, no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no fees of any kind. And the application is quick and easy. You can do it right from your phone. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. And that's exactly what they deliver to you at LightStream. Just for my listeners, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get it is to go to lightstream.com/Valvano. That's LightStream, lightstream.com/Valvano. That will get you that discount. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a half of 1% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Valvano for more information. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday on ESPN 680. Didn't introduce me, did he?
Crap.
I'm like a Pavlovian dog. If he doesn't say that, I can't talk.
Process talking about it.
Welcome back to the V Show with Bob Balvano.
Wow, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty damn good.
Guy who got a larynx transplant.
You're listening to the V Show with Bob Balvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
The playoffs are finally here. There's only a few.
What were you trying to play at that? You had something worked out and it didn't work? What were you going to play?
No, it just
Fat forgot. Fingers again?
No, I played something different. I didn't put the little stopgap in here, so everything started firing.
People are pretty jazzed up about Mike Leach. Of course, the anti-UK people. So that's good. That's another loss every year for Kentucky. Yuck, yuck, yuck. So I don't get involved in that. I just know the guys. He's a trip, man. He's entertaining.
So you have like the ultimate heel in Lane Kiffin and DJ.
It's turned into the SEC, which is appropriate. It's turned into wrestling. It's turned into WWE.
The Golly G, Mike Leach. He's not even Golly G. He's just marches to the beat of his own drum.
Oh, he does. He marches He's not marching. That's the thing. He's not marching to a drum. He's marching to a kazoo band. Speaking of kazoos, this is true, because if you listen to that game very closely that we were alluding to earlier with the Colonels and the Spirit of St. Louis, Texter says, I was a member of the Bert Averett fan club. They gave you a photograph and a bird whistle that you would blow five times whenever he made a three-pointer. And Costas, of course, in his inimitable fashion, was lamenting about how annoying the bird whistle was, because I guess some people didn't follow the rules. They hit it every time he made a shot, so, and he was a good player, so it's pretty entertaining. They were pretty funny. He was funny even then. He was, and I'll tell you what, he was back then. That's why I said, when you're people, I never forget when I started doing the analysis here. I mean, of course you're rooting for Louisville. Why wouldn't I root for Louisville? As I've said many times, even if you think I'm the biggest scumbucket in the history of the man, which I know many of you do probably, I get paid for every game they play. I want them to play as many games as possible. So why would I not root for them? But that's not why anyway. I like Chris. I'm a big fan of Vince Tyre. So, I'm certainly I'm rooting for them. But I was just amazed, because when you grew up in New York, man, the announcers don't do the we's and us. And I know most of the rest of the country does. And I would get skewered by Louisville fans. You're not enough of a fan. It's like, no, I'm a fan, but I'm that's not. I didn't sign me doing the play-by-play. Paul Rogers being the fan, Bob Valvano. I'm trying to be an analyst, so that if you see something good, I say I think something's good, I really think it's good. It's not because I'm just, hey, let's see if I can, you know, put a bow tie and a pig here. Y'all still talking about that game 20 years before I was born? Well, I guess in a way, but if that's all you took out of that, you're not that good at listening. But that's okay. Keep trying. We're on 3 hours a day over the 15 hours. You'll get the hang of it. Let's see. What else are we talking about here? I don't think there's any other. As a man of Italian heritage, what's the biggest insult someone can say to you as an Italian-American? That's a good question. What would you say that is? I don't know. Nick's ignoring us, so.
Purple? Yeah. Trotsky. 1942.
As a man of Italian heritage, what's the biggest insult someone can say about an Italian? Call us a Belgian. No, that's a joke. That's a complete joke.
Call us an Anglo.
Hey,
I will kick the spit out of you in front of your family on the spot.
That's not going to endear you. You realize 98% of our 98% of our audience are Anglos. John Y. Brown had sent Dan Issel to the Denver Nuggets for money during the last season. Yeah, I didn't think he was hurt. He was there. Mr. Weltman was the guy you were alluding to. Very good. Let's see. Are there any other good texts here? No, I think there's an image. Is that a funny image? Oh, wow. Guy sent us. I just won an autographed jersey from Dan Issel. You know, he does that on his Twitter thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I retweeted it.
And this guy won one. Very nice.
One of them went absolutely viral, because like Barstool and Bleacher Report and a bunch of people were retweeting it. Like, this is awesome. It was an ABA Colonels jersey signed by Dan Issel.
Yes, we've got a lot of people texting us. If you're just joining us, we've already mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. Mike Leach, according to numerous sources, going to be the next head coach at Mississippi State. And, you know, I don't filter everything that happens here through a UK or U of L prism. I tell you, as a fan for a very prominent football league, they've got themselves a successful coach who's pretty entertaining. He's pretty colorful guy. So, guys, so this is true. Because I forgot, the football game I was alluding to earlier, one of the sponsors is a cigarette. Every athletic event in America is sponsored by cigarettes at that time. The guy says, speaking of funny things that happen watching old shows, I was watching an old episode of the Newlywed Game, and one of the contestants lights up a cigarette while the show is on, while the guy next to him is answering, and he smokes it during the whole show. He's just sitting there puffing away.
Gotta love it.
Oh, entertaining. There you go. Why did you play the breaking news? You already broke it.
Yeah, I know, but just reiterating the fact that that is the breaking news of the moment.
Sure it is. It was the 1966 Gator Bowl. Thank you, sir. I knew it was the 60s, even earlier. So I was only, most of you, I realize 85% of you weren't even born, but I was nine. So I was, and be honest with you, I wasn't paying much attention to college football. I was football. I'd watch it. I mean, we were like guys drowning of thirst, parched people watching any sport that came on, because it's not like now where you could get it anytime you want. Oh, there you go. Put that in the mixtape. Where you can get it anytime you want, anywhere you want. Hey, how you doing? There it is. Hey. But so I watched it. But, I mean, it's not like now. It's just college football is not a big deal. But NFL was. They had a contest. I'll never. You know what my claim to fame was? This is still hard to do today. I can tell you how old I was. I got to think back. How old are you in fourth grade? 10?
9 or 10, yeah.
Okay, I was 10. Parade Magazine, which still exists. It's a supplement that goes in the Sunday paper.
Is that the one with all the nudies?
All the what?
The nudies?
No. it's so far from that. It's so old school. It's got, you know, all these feel-good human interest stories, basically. It's an insert into the Sunday paper in a lot of markets. And this company ran a promotion. It was a full page at the beginning of the season. And each week in the NFL season, just the NFL, not the AFL. So the NFL at that time was, I think, 16 teams.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a four seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.